Anyway, so tonight, Carrie Ninham is going to share. And so welcome her. And Carrie, take your liberty. Have some fun.
Oh, yeah.
Get this microphone.
The name will not be Carrie's Cubbies. Oh, they're over there. It's going to be Carrie's Cubbies. No, it's not. I get it now. I thought it was like some random thing that you put on. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Hi. I think you all know me. I'm Carrie. I think I've been at Visible for, since we moved in this building for sure. I'm a walker, so I kind of like to kind of meander. It's just what I do. Sorry. So I'm a teacher. I teach, when you were talking about reference points, I thought it was very interesting because I'm trying to teach fifth graders reference points. It doesn't work. Not at all. Okay. Trying to make it fun. Yeah, that doesn't work. Okay. So a couple weeks ago, I had this revelation as I was doing something that tedious that I hate to do. I will just tell you that. So as I began, and I was like weeding my garden, okay? Anybody who knows me knows that I can eat the produce. That's fine. But like the laborious parts, like actually having to weed the garden and like till it and all that stuff, not so much for me. So I just began and I'm like, okay. And it really came about, and I was talking to Sarah. And Sarah and I, we go back with like the Visible Kids section, right? And we were talking about the parable of the sower, okay? So I'm sure you probably know it well, okay? So if I'm looking, if I could find it. Oh, sorry, wrong. So the parable of the sower talks about all the different types of seeds, right? So, and it talks about the different types of seeds and where you plant them and what the sower does and then whether or not the seed will take root and begin to grow, right? So that became something that I was like kind of stirred about. And then I was like, oh, well, Sarah, I was going to bring in some weeds, like, for our lesson. And I was trying to talk to the kids, and I'm like, now, if you picture these children standing there looking at me, like, I'm like, okay, well, I had these weeds, and I was going to bring them, but I just have to explain them to you. So, I'm like, here is my green bean, and then here are my weeds. So, like, that was a good visual for them. And they were like, oh, I don't even know where she's going with this. So I was really thinking about that in itself. So this summer, I've been extremely busy. Okay? Went on the mission trip, went to camp, did all of this other stuff, right? And, of course, on the days that we were home, my husband and I wanted to spend some time together. My daughter was home. She wanted to spend some time, all that other stuff, right? So I liken it to the idea that when we first come to know Jesus, okay, we kind of have this zeal, right? Or we do have this zeal, okay? So we come to know him, and we, like, move full force towards him, okay? And I think of what my husband would say, and he would talk about, like, the first love. Like, what's your first love, okay? So as, like, in that being a reference point, I always kind of go back to that. And that just kind of ministers to me in a lot of different ways. So I'm thinking, like, okay, I've been gone. I really need to get out in my garden because as I was doing this message with Sarah, I was like, oh, this is terrible. Okay? So as I was going through, I'm, like, kneeling down, like, overwhelmed in, like, the midst of all of these weeds, right? So if I think about where we are in our lives, and I think of when I bought our first house, or you purchased your first boat. Oh, you have a brand new pair of shoes. Okay. Or a brand new car. What's the first thing we want to do? Like, if we, yeah, like we want to use it. Or if it's a new house, we want to like invite people over, right? Or if it's a new car, we want to like go tool around, okay? My daughter just got new lights on the underside of her BMW. And it's like, now she's like cruising up and down Main Street. I'm like, I don't even know about that girl. But apparently because there's lights on it, she can race and go fast. But that's another story. But that's kind of our attitude, right? Like if we have something put in our life and it's brand new, like, oh my gosh, you're like really proud of it, right? Like you really want to show it off. You want to speed around on it, okay? So we have, and same thing, when I moved into our new house, I decided that we live on almost 2 acres of land, and I decided that I wanted my yard to be, a fourth of it was going to be garden. Problem right there. Especially since I just told you I hate weeding. Not a good thing. Okay? So anyway, it's reduced in size quite a bit. So now I have this nice, I mean, it's a decent sized garden. So then in itself is the whole zeal idea that, oh, I'm going to go and like have a quarter acre of my land and have it be a garden and work full time and have 2 kids and a husband. Yeah. So that doesn't work. So that got narrowed down, right? And I think about when I first started, like I was so excited, like fourth of my yard, right? Planting all the seeds, going out there and fertilizing it, watering it a little bit, getting a nice sprinkler and putting it out there, and then going out and moving the sprinkler, and then going out and weeding it some more. That lasted about 2 weeks. And I will tell you, it lasts about 2 weeks every summer. Okay? Like, I'm so excited that I'm going to have this garden. Oh, I'm going to have some time this summer. Yeah, no. Doesn't happen. Okay? So, what happens in the meantime is that the weeds begin to take over, right? So the weeds begin to take over regardless of, you know, how much passion you had for this garden, okay? And it becomes more of a hassle or a chore, if you will, to maintain as opposed to the joy that it's supposed to bring you, right? And I think about that, and I'm finally kneeling down, like weeding my garden. And it was very interesting because I'm telling you right now, you will never hear me say this again. I spent 3 hours in that garden. Never will happen again. Okay, unless, of course, it's a God thing, because this definitely was. Because I'm going through, and I'm like, okay, pulling out the large plants first, or the large weeds, right? There's plenty of them, okay? So, and I think of in Luke 8:13. So that's just a little bit of the parable. And it talks about, and actually we can go a little bit before that. So Luke 8:11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns, and those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Okay? And I think about that, and like that's the verse that God really put on my heart as I was doing my job. Okay. So all of these other distractions, number one, kept me away from the garden. Okay. And when I think about distractions, and a lot of times that word has a negative connotation. Okay. Like a distraction, something that distracts you, obviously. But we also can think of that as in terms of something good, too much of a good thing, right? So keep that in mind. Okay. So they don't always have to be necessarily like the work of the enemy. Okay. We can just get wrapped up in what we're doing. And a lot of times when we get wrapped up, we forget who we're doing it for. Right. So like I said, you know, I was at camp and I was on a mission trip. Like, those aren't bad things. Okay. But if my garden were to be God and I was distracted with things of this world, would that be a good thing? Okay. So when I think about that in terms of a new car or a new pair of shoes or a new sport that you got interested in, okay, a new house, okay, all of those things, okay, they could be considered distractions, okay? I always think about, we have a boat that sits in our yard, and it's like, we got it, and it was like, we were out there all the time. And now it just kind of sits there, right? So what are we doing with that relationship that we began having with God? Is it just sitting there? Or is it something that we kind of go back and tend to? Okay? Do we put oil in it? Do we put fuel in it? Do we winterize it? What do we do? Right? Or is it just something that just sits there? Maybe doesn't even have a cover on it. Mine doesn't. Okay? So we have to, like, just stuff like that. It was just going through my mind. Now, I'm standing there kind of cursing the weeds. And I was like, oh man, why do I have to do this? And why are there so many weeds, right? So as I'm pulling them out, and you know how like some vines, like regardless of what's around them, some vines like get kind of get tangled above the ground, right? So I'm like fighting with these weeds and I'm like going through and like trying to get them. But as I'm pulling them, like, they wouldn't come out. Because if they are there for so long, they take root, don't they? Okay? And if we think about those distractions in our life, okay, if I decide, oh, maybe I'm just really tired this Wednesday. You know, it's a slippery slope. Then I'm tired next Wednesday, too. And then the Wednesday after that. Right? So we have to kind of hold ourselves to a higher standard. Because kind of whenever, like, okay, let's say I am sick one of these days, like, and then I'm, like, really not coming on Wednesday, then it's like, oh, she hasn't been here in 2 months. Is Carrie okay? Right? So some of that takes root, and some of that is habit forming. Okay? So here I am, like, pulling on some of these, like, weeds, and some of them, I think, really, I'm convinced they're trees, not even weeds. Okay, because like they have like the stem like this, like just crazy. Okay, so imagine me. I no longer can pull these large weeds from my knees, so I have to stand up. Okay, I'm fighting with these things. Okay, so I'm like leaning. I fit like at several points. I'm like leaning. Okay, like this with the weed, and like all of my weight is on it. Weed did not budge. Okay, as a teacher, I think of that one story where it's like they're trying to pick a carrot. They're trying to pick a carrot, and one of them has like grabs hold of the stem. And then another one of their friends comes along and grabs hold of them. And then, like, okay, the whole village comes. They end up like finally getting it. I needed a whole village. Okay, so that just talks about like the root system of your beliefs, whether good or bad. Right? And if we allow those distractions to take part and take hold of our life and take our attention away from where our attention needs to be, then that's a problem. Okay? Yeah, I have down here. I'm like, imagine dirt flying and Carrie nearly laid out by some, like, taunting. They were taunting me to, like, with dirt flying everywhere. So, yeah, the weeds were taunting me. I'm not even kidding. After I do all this, okay, go get the shovel, do all that. Like, my husband, just nowhere to be seen. I think he's working in the garage. So, of course, if there's weeding time, he runs, too. So, even in that process, okay, I sit down and I look around and it looks like I didn't even touch anything. Okay, because I got the big stuff, but then there's all this underlying stuff, right? So things can be glaring, like distractions can be glaring in our life, right? Like these big, tall weeds. But yet what's underlying? Okay, they're the little things, right? They're the things that we maybe not bat an eyelash at, that we don't worry so much about, but yet it covers the soil, okay? Those are the ones that are easy to look past because we still, like, we can still see our plants, right? But it's a problem because if they continue, what's going to happen? Are we going to have plants for long? No. Not so much. Thanks, Lauren. Okay. And I think about, as I was overzealous in my weeding, I think about the idea that as I was pulling and weeding and doing all of these things, victims of my zeal were actual plants. Okay, because they kind of get intertwined and all of this other stuff and kind of create knots everywhere. So at first I was like, oh, totally distracted because that's what I am. I'm distracted. Maybe not with earwax, but I'm still distracted. Okay, so I like, oh my gosh, a plant ripped out. Like, oh, that's a good pea plant. Like, I really need that. Like, even though I have like three other rows. But regardless, I need to quickly go replant it, like take everything away, replant it, dig another hole, right? Go get some water and water it and all this other stuff, right? Well, I kept ripping out more plants, okay? So right away, as soon as we see that something is uprooted that produces fruit, you know, right away we're like, oh, like I have to save that, right? But it also talks about, in the word, about the process of pruning, right? And certain plants need pruning to produce more fruit, right? So you think about, and I'm thinking of John 15:2. And it talks about the true vine. And it says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Eat every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And you already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine. Abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And I think of that and I'm like, why am I stressing over one little thing? Granted, like I think of like the pea plant doesn't necessarily, if you prune it, doesn't necessarily produce more fruit. But if you take the fruit off of it, it produces more, right? It doesn't just die out. It continues to produce, okay? And like that's something that just resonated with me. I'm like, so I have more. It's just not one and done, right? So that is one of the things that like really got me angry at first, the fact that I was losing plants and it was really they were victims of my own zealousness, okay? Because I'm like vigorously just pulling these things out, not really paying attention, okay? So at first I became angry and then I'm like, huh, I really started thinking about the True Vine. And I'm like, that's interesting. And so, like, as I'm, like, this whole process of weeding, I'm like, I think God's trying to tell me something. Like, it's very interesting. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, this is a good sermon for the youth, but I'm like, I'm not sure if it's just for the youth. I don't really know. Okay? But I think about those distractions, and I think about my life. And I think about maybe 2 years ago. I think about I was so frustrated with my job. I was an instructional coach at a school district. Okay? And I was so frustrated. Okay? That I think I became a little distracted and began kind of searching for my own path, right? And I think about, like I said, like you can become distracted with good things, okay? And I'm like, oh, like just praying, but really not wanting to listen when I prayed. I just wanted to pray to get out of this job. But I really wasn't listening to what God had for me or wanted me to do, okay? So the distraction was the fact that I just needed to be gone. It wasn't a good situation, all of that other stuff, okay? And, well, lo and behold, a door opened up, okay? Well, wasn't really anything that God did necessarily. Okay, it was kind of more of me kind of forcing this door open. Okay, and how many of us know that we can get in our own way? We can definitely get in our own way. Okay, of the blessings that God has for us, of the path that God has for us. Okay, I'm like totally lured in with like the promise of more money, being closer to home, all of this other stuff. And I step in to this position, oh, it's great for like 2 weeks, okay? 2 weeks, it's amazing. It's like, oh my gosh, why did I never know that I could do this? And the job itself was fine, but it was not a good situation with others. So I left a not so good situation, but if I would have waited, something would have opened up there. And they said, oh, if you were only here like a month later. Like, well, yeah, now you tell me. Okay. So I walked into this situation distracted by just wanting to get out bad enough that I didn't even wait and listen for what God had for me. Okay. I lasted at the other job for a year and a half. Like, I don't even know. I think I texted Pastor Ben and Debbie and Trisha, and I'm like, I'm leaving today. I am quitting this job and I am leaving. Okay? Because that's how unhappy I was. It was not a good situation. And finally, I'm just like, God, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do? And I really listened. And it was like, huh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay? So I'm back in a classroom, which is where I wanted to be when I left the instructional coach position. I wanted to be back in a classroom. And it's just because I love working with youth and I love working with kids. And it's not necessarily that I didn't know what my calling was. It's not that I doubted my heart for kids and youth. It was that I just wasn't patient enough. And that I didn't stop and listen for God's direction. Okay, I got too distracted and too overwhelmed with what was going on around me that I got lost in my own head, in my own space. Okay. And that kind of leads me to my next point about the idea that in life there are imitations. Okay? There are imitations. And I think of, like, as I was looking out at my field, not even a garden at this point. Okay. It was difficult to tell. Is that a plant or is that a weed? I'm not really sure. It's kind of like that bush out front. And it's like, is that like ornamental grass or is that like a weed? Okay. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just check it out on the way out. I really want to pull that thing, but there's two of them. So it's like, are they really plants? I don't really know. So there are imitations. There are things that place themselves in your path that are like, oh. And if we get caught up and we are not heeding the voice of the Lord, we can get wrapped up in it. Right? Kind of like I was wrapped up in wanting to get out of my old position, that I jumped into a worse situation. Okay? So there are imitations. There are things that kind of step in and kind of pose as like this grandiose situation. Right? There are things in our life as youth that kind of stand in our way and are like, yeah, is this of God? But sometimes we don't have the sense or discernment to stop and ask. And sometimes we just roll with it. Okay, and I think in the sense of, like, the younger ones, like, we kind of get ensnared by some of those weeds, by some of those friends, by some of those situations that we kind of have at school or when we're hanging out at the football game, whatever. We kind of get ensnared in those. And we don't stop or we don't have the mentality, not mentality necessarily, but maybe the strength to say, oh, should I? Is this of you, God? That we just kind of get wrapped up and we just continue going with it. Okay? And I think that doesn't just apply to the youth, right? That applies to us. And I think about the whole idea that it's interesting because when I worked at the school district before, I had some really good friends. Like, we were really, really close. We worked on a team together. It was amazing. But they would always go out and party. I was like, now they don't even talk to me. It's like, or they'll be like, hi. And just like kind of put their head down. And I'm like, hi, how are you? Like, trying to talk to them, but they're like, oh. Okay. But it's because when I got hired again, I was like, kind of put it out there. I had to like do two truths and one lie. I don't know if you guys know that. Like, say two truths about you and then one lie. So I'm like, oh yeah, I work with a youth group at our church. And like, I'm like, country music is my jam. And they're like, right away, they were like, okay, so we know her enough to know that country is not her thing. So they're like, you work at your church? What? But, and now it's like, oh gosh, don't look at Gary. Don't look at her. But it's like, seriously? So like, those are the things. And if I were to kind of go in and be the same old person that I was how long ago, okay? And I worked there for like 11 years. So, like, if I went in and I was shy about professing what I do for most of my life, like, I'm here probably more than I'm at my house, and I'm probably at my job more than I'm at my house and here, right? So, it's a huge part of my life being here at Visible, like, as a member, as a volunteer, whatever, okay? And are we zealous about sharing that? Or do we just like, oh, yeah. What'd you do last night? Nothing. Watch Dancing with the Stars. So we have to think about some of those distractions and some of those imitations and some of those things that are in our life that we have to either say no to or have the discernment to figure out if they are from God or not. Okay. So, and again, it doesn't have to be something bad. We can get wrapped up. I think there's this one song by Casting Crowns, maybe. And it talks about I get so wrapped up in doing what I'm doing that I totally forget that I'm doing it for you. Okay? Or we become so enveloped and ensnared in all of these distractions, all of these weeds that come and surround us, that we don't stop and think about it, and we disqualify ourselves. Not because God's disqualified us, because he hasn't, but because we become so busy that we can't be used. Okay? And we think about the idea that regardless of the age, that regardless of the time, God can use you. Right? We just have to be available and ready. And I think of the whole principle of like the 80-20 principle, like in a church, in a school, like 20% of the people do all the work. Okay? 20% of the people volunteer and do this and do that, which is good. And I think Visible's amazing at that. We have so many people with their hands in like all over. I love it. Okay? But even then, are we serving in the sense and in the capacity that God wants us to? Or are we too busy doing other things to be used to the fullness? And you might be looking at me like, oh yeah, well, Carrie, that's great. You have a husband that works second shift and you don't have any kids at home. I get it. Okay, I've been there. Okay, but if we don't set these examples for our kids now where the priority lies and set aside the distractions, what are we teaching our kids? And I kind of look back and I'm like, gosh, I wish I was sensitive enough to have heard this message or a message like this. And I wish I was sensitive enough when my kids were younger. Like, oh, I totally missed that. And we were so busy traveling and doing this and doing that, that it was like, oh, well, it's Sunday, but it's okay. We have this to go to. And then it became every other Sunday. Or if I was in church for a month, for once a month, I was good. Right? So if we think about it, and if we're the salt and we're the light in this world, where do our priorities lie? Okay? But I also think about the fact that I get it. Like, you want, like, everybody else has a lot of different things. So, like I said, I've been there. And I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to judge you. Okay? But I just want you to consider, is that God's best for you? Does God have more? Okay? Are you becoming too ensnared in the things of this world or the things that are good things that you're kind of disqualifying yourself? Okay? God's going to keep knocking. Right? Regardless of the obstacles and the things in your life, God's going to keep knocking. He's going to keep, are you ready yet? Are you ready yet? Okay? We have to get those weeds, those vines out around our feet and just able to walk and follow after him. It talks about Ecclesiastes about like a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment, and it talks about he who keeps my command will experience nothing harmful, and talks about discernment and such. And like I said, if it's a good thing that you're distracted by, okay, there's everything in moderation, right? So I think of, going back to the analogy of my field, I think of the idea that I was in Mexico several years ago, the first year I planted my garden. So, of course, fourth of an acre, right? Whatever it is, I don't even know. And I think about that, and I'm like, oh, I really love, like, the Hispanic food, and I don't even know. So I came home, and I planted tomatillos. 5 of them, okay? And they grew in, like, these nice bushes. Like, they're really, they're not, like, hard to take care of at all. They are pretty much weeds themselves. Okay? And if you know anything about tomatillos, they kind of grow in these little husks, and yeah. On a side note, I brought tons of them to school to, like, put all out. I'm like, I don't even know what to do with these anymore. They make great salsa verde. Everything in moderation, my friends. Uh-oh. And, like, this custodian that was working there, he's like, oh, my gosh, these are so good. And he, like, takes it out of a husk and just, like, starts eating it like an apple. I'm like, I don't think that's what you're supposed to do with them. I'm like, I think you're supposed to roast them. He's like, well, aren't these ground cherries? Nope. Sure aren't. They're green tomatoes. Right? So that's the good imitation piece, too. But anyway, these tomatillos, what, 4 or 5 plants? I don't even know. They're nice, and they, like, kind of grow up to nice little bushes and whatever. Well, I'm telling you, I've never had to plant another tomatillo plant ever. Okay, in my garden this year, do you know how many I have? About 20. Just saying. So we think about those types of things. We can, we're sowing the seed. And then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, where did all these come from? Okay. And I think of the idea that we have these seeds and we have these nice little bushes. And all of a sudden, like, you till up the garden and everything is gone, and then the next spring it's like, whoa, I don't think I planted any tomatillos. Or, are those parsnips? Because I don't have any of those either. Okay? And we think about those in our life, and I was like, why do I have tomatillos again? But I'm like, use that as a metaphor, and I'm like, you think about, if you're not okay and you don't yield some of those things and you become so distracted that you don't surrender, these little plants and little seeds of bitterness kind of pop up here, pop up there. Anger, right? Regardless of, oh, maybe we didn't plant that there, but I don't know where that came from. And I think of camp when Casey Carey said, like, if somebody bumps into you, okay, do you accidentally spill Jesus out? It's like, ooh, sorry, I accidentally spilled Jesus out on you today. Or if someone bumps into you, do you just kind of like, oh, man, stop it, Ken, get out of my way. Okay, did you accidentally spill Jesus on him? Well, not really. A little bit of annoyance, maybe. Okay, so we think about those things, and we think about if we're not fully surrendering and if we're too busy with all of these distractions and all of these entanglements that we find ourselves in, we can't really do our job well and be that light and salt in the earth, can we? Because we are not accidentally spilling Jesus on anybody or on purpose. Right? Because what's inside here is kind of what comes out, right? So all of a sudden you look around and you have 20 tomatillos or 20 roots of bitterness. Like, ooh, I need to do some labor today. Right? I think of, like, the sins and addictions and bitterness and how much that they can revisit us. Okay? And I think of, like, those sore spots that we sometimes have. Okay? Someone said something and you really want to hold a grudge. You really do. Well, it's not something that, like, just have grace. Forgive him. Okay? But a lot of those things, we kind of go around, and we talked a couple weeks ago about masks. And we kind of go around and we kind of keep those things hidden. We don't want anybody to see those. Okay? We don't want anybody to see, oh, we got angry, or we got, and yeah, we all do. Like, that's normal, right? But we kind of take those sins and addictions and bitterness, all of that stuff, and we hide it from our church people, right? Our friends. We hide them from our pastor. We think we hide them from God, when in essence, he knows it already. We just have to surrender it. Right? And we just have to understand that we can't put our friends, our job, our loved ones before God. And I think about like all of those things that we try to put in line. That's like, oh, well, family first. Is it really? Okay, that's not the case for me. That's what a lot of people preach and what a lot of people say. But no, I'm going to be a much better wife and a much better mother if I have God and he goes first. Right? So, and it talks in Matthew 6, it talks, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So don't worry about what's happening, where this is coming from. Right? So distractions are a big hindrance to the life of a Christian. And we really think about how they can take all these different types of shapes, right? All the different shapes and all the different areas of our life. They can take a lot of different forms. But either way, these distractions, these ensnarements, these entanglements, not sure if that's a word. Thanks. Student teaching the teacher. But regardless, we become, if we get enveloped in them, we can become so discouraged and so worn down that the promise of fruit doesn't even help us. And the promise of fruit would be what? Fruit of the Spirit? A good life? Okay? All of the other things that could be added to you? Okay? I think about all those things. So, if you think of even the promise of fruit sometimes isn't enough to keep us motivated, that we just kind of fall victim to the weeds, if you will. Oh, so that's something that's really been on my heart. And I really think that over the past couple weeks, like, I've been praying about this and I've been really thinking about the idea that, you know, I have to revisit my life. It's like, okay, well, where are my distractions? Okay. Like, first week of school, oh my gosh, I was working like 15-hour days. It was dark when I went to school and it was dark when I came home. Did I have time to read the Bible? Did I have time to pray? Okay. So I had to really like think about, and anytime you're like praying about something and are going to preach on it, of course, you're going to be like, oh yeah, I'm so busy. And then I come home and go to sleep. Well, I didn't pray. I didn't read the word. Right? So I think of all of those things. And I think of, in the sense of being a Christian, I think sometimes that's a challenge. There's always a challenge that, are we progressing or are we just maintaining? Because if we're maintaining, we're not growing. And if we're growing, what are we doing? Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the... I'm just going to skip down there. And this we will do if God permits, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. And I think of, we have to keep pushing and we have to keep pressing in and we have to several times a week, a day, depending on who you are and how many distractions there are going on around you. How many times do we have to stop and unravel our feet so we can continue walking and continue seeking after what God has for us and not just maintaining and not settling for imitation and not getting to be lovers of the world or earthly possessions, but seek first his kingdom. So I think of that, and that's really what's been stirring in me. So thank you for allowing me to share. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for reminding us to not neglect the garden of our heart and our lives. And especially as school starts up and life is busy for people, we've got to maintain that garden. Don't we? Stand with me tonight. Let's pray. Maybe as Carrie was talking, you were thinking about things that you shouldn't allow in the garden of your heart and your mind. Well, let's make simple work of it. Let's just pray and get rid of it. Amen. And then you got to do the hard work of pull the weed maybe tomorrow or whatever it is. But maybe God put something in your heart and your mind. And let's just go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just bringing to our heart's attention that our heart is a garden and that your word is a seed. And there are so many things that come in and can choke out that word and make it unfruitful in our life. And so, Father, would you just help us tonight as we finish up this time of service, when we finish up this church service, would you put in our hearts, put in our minds the things that you would like us to pull out and discard that we wouldn't allow in our garden anymore. And we just thank you for bringing those things to our attention. And if there's anything that we need to repent and lay at your altar tonight, we just stand firm on the word that says that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive them. And so I thank you, Lord, that you remove them as far as the east is from the west, and it's no longer a part of our lives. And so we refuse to walk in them. And in fact, we just hate that old junk and we just walk towards you. So thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts tonight. And we ask a blessing on Carrie and the youth ministry and on Mikey and everything that you're doing in their lives. And Lord, we desire to see in the garden of our young people the fruit of your word in their life, the fruit of your spirit in their life. And we desire that same fruit in our homes and in the church. And so we thank you, Holy Spirit, for just helping us in all of those things. Amen. All right. Well, be blessed. I will see you on Sunday. We've got small groups starting on Sunday. That's a good way to maintain a garden. I'll talk to you guys on Sunday.